I'll have what she's having. A lot of people wanted what Nora Ephron had, but it is not envy that fills my mind today thinking about Nora Ephron and all the great scenes, the jokes, the perfect phrases and lines she is responsible for in some way over her long career. It's just admiration. Here is someone who led with her genius, held the bastards at bay with her blue-blooded credentials and stinging social clout, and took from the emotional pain and turmoil of her own life a wisdom we can only, well, we can only laugh at and cry. And smile.
Observation deck?
Sorry, ma'am, but it's too late.
Oh, no, please, I really need to get up there.
We're closing up. No more runs tonight.
Listen, can I just take a look? There's someone I was supposed to meet. He's probably not there, but if I don't at least look, I'll always wonder about it.
Cary Grant, right?
You know that movie?
One of my wife's favorites.
From the movie Sleepless in Seattle that Ephron wrote, just a single scene in a whole genre of films and books and plays that contain the voice of a woman who finally lost her battle with leukemia at the age of 71.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
That sweet version of Over the Rainbow by Harry Nilsson. One tune from the Ephron film You've Got Mail, another work where Ephron grasped the edgy contemporary romantic moment without losing the deep sentimentality that is Hollywood. Nora Ephron died last night in Manhattan. Her many friends in New York and Hollywood spread the sad news. This tweet from director and writer James L. Brooks: each time with Nora Ephron, I watched her as one would a natural phenomenon, unconsciously agape at how remarkable she was. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg: the loss of Nora Ephron is a devastating one for New York City's arts and cultural community. From her earliest days at New York City's newspapers to her biggest Hollywood successes, Nora always loved a good New York story, and she could tell them like no one else. Ephron began her career as a journalist, but ultimately her beat was her own life. Here she is talking about her troubled family life on this program 2 years ago.
You can't kid yourself that divorce is a happy arrangement for children. You can't kid yourself that in order, you know, it's not good that in order to see the person you love the most in the world, you have to leave the other person you love the most in the world.
The narrative that most troubled her, and the one where her humor was most razor sharp, was aging and mortality itself. Here she is talking about her sagging neck, which she made a metaphor for aging in her book of essays, I Feel Bad About My Neck.
This is among the things that start happening to you when you get older, when you're supposed to be in what people are always telling you is your prime and the best years of your life. But the truth is that your life is kind of slowly slipping away.
Joining us now is Nora Ephron friend Alessandra Stanley, the chief television critic for The New York Times. Alessandra, just the admiration just has really no bounds this morning. In your view, what did Nora Ephron get right about the world around her that's now become our world?
Well, pretty much everything. And I think that's why people are so stunned. We were laughing yesterday because she has a funny line in one of her movies where Meg Ryan keeps asking, why do men quote The Godfather all the time? And Tom Hanks replies, well, The Godfather is the I Ching. It's the sum of all wisdom. And I think that for women, that's what Nora Ephron's books and movies were. It's just anything worth saying, anything funny worth having was in her work.
I've got that clip. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
let's do it.
I do.
What is it with men and The Godfather? Hello?
Oh, come on. Hello? The Godfather is the I Ching. The Godfather is the sum of all wisdom. The Godfather is the answer to any question. What should I pack for my summer vacation? Leave the gun, take the cannoli. What day of the week is it?
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
The answer to your question is go to the mattresses.
Go to the mattresses.
You're at war. It's not personal, it's business. It's not personal, it's business.
That's such a great clip. Thanks for reminding us of that. You know, the amazing thing, you remind us that some of those scenes, which you can't imagine without the actors, if you had them as conversations with Nora Ephron, she was a better character than any of the actors who ever read her lines.
Well, anyone who's had the privilege of talking to her knows that. I mean, she was, dinners at her house were, a three-course comedy, and she was at the center of them. And most of the funny things she said, she either said or one of her closer friends said it. So the two sides blur.
And she captured it all, and it ended up in her work, which was another piece of her brilliance. Remind us of just the extent of her career. Looking at the bios that are now flooding the internet, she's a zealot character, but everybody remembers when she was in the room.
Well, she's had, it's extraordinary, how many things she's done. And this is not just a woman who's written plays and screen ends and directed movies and written essays and books, but she plays online Scrabble. So somewhere in the world, I've always thought that there was a fifth Efron sister who did a lot of the writing in an attic, the Dora Efron who actually produced all that, because Nora was around in the world as well as as much as she was working. She was at parties, she was cooking, she was playing Scrabble. I think that's what always is so amazing about Nora, is how much she did.
What does it say about her breadth as a writer that she wrote Heartburn and Sleepless in Seattle and the script for Silkwood?
Well, she'd say she was around for a long time.
right. She would.
It doesn't add up. Again, that's why you have to sort of figure that there's another sister somewhere. But she was a serious person who never took herself or her life seriously, and that shows up. She can write a serious piece, but there's always something slightly comic to what she's writing, and when she's writing humor, there's something kind of true behind it that makes it more than silly. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, and I think, if you go back to Heartburn and look at her observations of the time when she was married to Carl Bernstein, in many ways, she grasped the essential reality and wisdom of what went on during that Watergate period in a way that has lived on even beyond All the President's Men on some level. She grasped the zeitgeist.
And she knew who Deep Throat was, and as she said, nobody believed her.
I know, that's so perfect. I mean, they believe Nora Ephron now. It's so sad. You want to give us a parting shot here? I don't want to get too sentimental because she would just be so mad. But
I know. No, she always says everything best. And what she said from the hospital to Scott Rudin while they were talking about a screenplay she was doing in the hospital, which was, if I could just get a hairdresser in here, we could have a meeting.
Oh, fantastic. Alessandra, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Alessandra Stanley, the chief television critic and friend of Nora Ephron, chief television critic for The New York Times.
Somewhere.